Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Big, big hour coming your way, and it starts right now. Alongside Bart Scott, I'm Joe Fortenball in for Alan Hahn. This is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Tannenbaum set to join us in about 10 minutes to discuss the latest with Lamar Jackson. If Kyler Murray's going to get the bag, you got to figure it's coming for Lamar soon, isn't it? Also, what about that Kyler Murray contract? Because all the talk last week, Bart, was about the $230 million extension. But yesterday, a little detail inside that contract came to light, that the Arizona Cardinals, in exchange for all that money, wanted Kyler Murray to agree to a clause in which he would perform 4 hours of independent study per week during the football season, excluding bye weeks. Essentially sending the message to their quarterback and everybody else, we don't think you prepare enough. You could do more. Who do you think, first and foremost, is asking for that clause? Is that Cliff Kingsbury going to the front office, or is the front office well aware that they don't even need to talk to Kingsbury on this? They're the ones that are going
to
demand it.
See, to me, I think it's the general manager. See, they have to be careful with the Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray relationship, because Cliff Kingsbury is the one who got empowered to go get him in the first place. He's the one that, hey, to run this offense on an NFL level, the closest thing I need a guy like Kyler Murray. I can't do it with Josh Rosen, which I feel like Josh Rosen's got the most unfair shake in the history of first-round draft picks. You know, from one place to the next, nobody is standing on the table for him. I didn't think he was that bad his rookie year. But, you know, you got to keep them separated, because Kingsbury, they share an agent. Right, so if they share an agent, then that means that they're cross-talking with each other, and he can't do anything to sever the relationship. And from an agent standpoint, they love the fact that they can have this guy available, because Kingsbury will stand on the table for him to say, okay, no, we can get it. He'll get more chances that way, because he has allies, you know, outside influences as well. But, you know, when you look at it, this has to come from a general manager, because he has to separate the two. He understands the dynamic as well. He understands that they're having private conversations, that he's talking to Kyler about what's going on through the agent. You don't think, like, when Kingsbury was getting his extension, that Kyler was well aware that, hey, man, he's going to be here for a while, because we always worry about what happens if your coach gets fired and you're not somebody else's guy. They come in, even if you're a first-round draft pick, they might disregard you because they don't like the fact that you don't prepare. They don't
Justin
like
Justin Fields in Chicago, right? He could be facing something like that.
Yeah, but the thing is, they gave up so much for him to move up. I think he's good for the next couple of years. But, you know, he'll get a hall pass this year. But, man, if Justin Fields don't show us something next year, after that, 3 years, then they have to start having that weird conversation that the Giants are having and the weird conversation that the Jets were having. If we're losing, you know, we're losing games, and we got a quarterback, but it's a better one coming out that I like better, and we can reset the clock. That's the same issue that the Jets had. They believed that Sam Darnold was okay, and they had to surround him. But, man, his time clock didn't match up with their ability to put a good football team around him, so they used him as an asset and cash in that chip.
All right, so take me through this, because I think this is the question everyone's asking regarding Murray, the contract, and the clause. If you have that much of a concern regarding your franchise quarterback's work ethic, that you have to put something in a contract that apparently has never really been done before. I mean, you played for 12 years. You've said you've never heard of something like this. If you felt compelled to do that, then why did you bother paying him at all right now? Because you didn't need to.
Because it was cheaper today than he will be tomorrow. Because soon as Lamar Jackson gets paid, and at the end of the year, we know for a fact that is no doubt, no question, and with the Chargers, we know that it's no question, no doubt with Joe Burrow. So now, if that's what I said. Nobody's made more money than Lamar Jackson by not doing anything. Because if he'd have signed that soon as offseason, look how many guys have gotten paid since the end of the season. We got A.A. Ron, we got Deshaun Watson, we got Kyler Murray, like we got Ryan, Derek Carr. Like, it's been a lot of bags given out. All Lamar got to say, "Oh, I'm not ready yet." even if we wait
for Russell Wilson, yeah, for a couple others.
Yeah, Russell got paid. Like, even like, you know, Jimmy G's going to go somewhere and he's not going to get a big deal. But, you know, I mean, coming off next year, who's going to get paid after that? Like, I mean, if Joe Burrow does his thing, he'll be breaking the clock. He'll be breaking the bank.
All right, he's Bart Scott. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh in for Alan Hahn. This is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Phone lines are open. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Arizona Cardinals handing out all that money with the clause for Kyler Murray that he has to give him 4 hours of independent study each week during game weeks during the season. Where do you stand on that? Do you see Murray responding in kind? Do you see Arizona competing for a divisional title? Or is this just going to get worse as the rift builds? Presumably because people are going to start asking Kyler Murray a whole lot of questions about his work ethic. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Travis in Virginia Beach. Travis, we appreciate the phone call. Thanks for waiting on hold. Floor is yours. Your thoughts on Kyler Murray.
Yes, I might need your all's a little help on this one. I'm wondering if the reason why they're asking him to do this, and maybe his demeanor on the field while practicing, is of him being in like a baseball mentality where he was the baseball player, and don't feel like there's this much intensity when it comes to the training for baseball as there is for the preparation for football, and also being on a weekly basis as a daily basis as it is in baseball. How do y'all feel maybe that's the reason why he needs a different style of studying because of his baseball background and not being so intense on the training of the football and everything like that?
That's interesting, whether or not that has an impact. I mean, the day he decided to turn down the opportunity to play for the Oakland Athletics was basically the day he was making the statement that he was going to be a football player, thus he was going to welcome everything that football presented in front of him if that was going to be the path. But is it possible the baseball background has an effect here with the work ethic?
Zero, because guess what, right? Like, first of all, man, like he wanted to be a football player because he's looking at what Aaron Judge is having to go through. They own his rights. He still hadn't got paid, and he's about to hit his 30s. So that's why he was like, that's why he was asking the Athletics, are you going to guarantee that I'm called up, or do I have to do the whole AAA stuff? I don't want to do that because you're going to own control of me for 6 years. So, no, on that regard. But also, when you look at the fact that, come on, Patrick Mahomes played baseball. Russell Wilson played baseball.
Great point.
Jameis Winston played baseball. Like, it's a lot of guys that played baseball that was damn good that got drafted that still had the work ethic and the football acumen and the preparation to go in and sit in there and sit in class and be able to learn and become a student of the game. So giving him a free pass, like he's the first baseball to ever play both sports. Nobody ever said anything about Deion Sanders' work ethic. He played both. Bo Jackson's work ethic. You either got work ethic or you don't. And clearly, he doesn't. He doesn't have the focus that says, okay, football is the most important thing to me, and this is what I'm going to focus my time and energy in, and everything else comes second. Clearly, other things that he would rather do. That's the same reason why most guys don't make it to the league. It's because they're not willing to separate the game from the rest of your life. They're not ready to become part of the game, let it engulf you. I mean, you hear what T.J. Watt says. Dude don't even got no damn TV. Like certain players, they don't even watch TV. They don't have TVs. Everything is about football. And clearly he likes what football brings him. He doesn't like the process of what it is to be great. He can be good just because he's naturally talented. He's not obsessed with it. He's not obsessed with it like Brady, like Aaron Rodgers. He's not obsessed with it like Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson. He's not obsessed with it, right? And that's why some guys are in the NFL because they like what it does for them, not because they love the competition and the process. And if you want to be a great football player on a pro level, you have to fall in love with the process because a lot of the days aren't pretty. It's lonely. It's boring. You practice 6 months, 7 months, only to play for 4 months, only to play 17 games. All year is about preparing for the season. And the season comes in a blink of an eye, but you prepare for it for 6 to 8 months for maybe 17 opportunities.
Well said. Let's get another call in here. Rich in Virginia on Kyler Murray. Rich, we appreciate the call. Your thoughts on Kyler Murray?
Yeah, I think that, like Bart said, I think, like you said, Bart, that you gotta be dedicated. You gotta have that mobile mentality. So you don't have it. You don't have it. But I say this, for somebody that don't put in the work like that, for him to have his talent to be successful, just look at the quarterback that he put in the work that they natural stuff like Baker Mayfield.
All right, bit of a shaky connection, but we appreciate the phone call, Rich. Thanks for chiming in. Coming up in 30 seconds, our NFL front office insider is going to join us to discuss the Kyler Murray contract and what it means for guys like Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. But first, Bart has this from Cheerios.
Cheerios, man. You know, like I know. If you're on a go, it might be skipping eating a healthy way, which is probably why you feel a bit more sluggish these days. Well, as a friendly reminder from us to you, you can fuel life's special moments with heart-healthy Honey Nut Cheerios. Made from whole grains and low in fat, Cheerio provides 12 essential vitamins and minerals. So pour your heart into today. It's oh so important. Pick up a box of Honey Nut Cheerios today at your local, national, I don't care, grocery store. Just get you some damn Cheerios.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Alongside Bart Scott, I'm Joe Fortenbaugh, filling in for Alan Hahn. This is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Right now we go to the phones. Our NFL front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum, joining us here on the show. Mike, we appreciate the time. You have spent a lot of time in NFL front offices. You have worked personally on a lot of NFL contracts. The Kyler Murray contract for $230 million that includes a clause in which Murray has to give the team 4 hours of independent study per week during the season for game weeks. Have you ever seen anything like that in all your years?
I haven't. Now, hopefully this all works out for Arizona and Kyler Murray, and he learns from his past sort of like bumps in the road. He gets an unbelievable amount of guaranteed money, and Arizona has hopefully a very committed player moving forward.
Now, Mike T, when you think about what some of the allegations were happening, I know both guys are trying to throw sand at their face and trying to state their case through the media, but if it's reports that he doesn't prepare well, obviously if they put that in the contract, they didn't believe so, but also that he wasn't the leader, you know, wasn't being a great leader, didn't prepare well, bad body language. Why would you reward the behavior instead of making Kyler Murray prove to you that he can be a leader, that he can make those changes before you give him the money? Is it because the price of the quarterback is continuously going up and Joe Burrow and Herbert and Lamar Jackson is going to make it even more expensive to be a quarterback in this league?
Just think talent rules, Bart. You know that. He has a meaningful chance to win a championship. He's that good of a player, and I think that's – really what they come back to is like he's a great player, and if they could sort of clean up this part of his preparation, which again is very disappointing to see, but I actually give Kyler Murray credit. You know, he's obviously knowing that if it's in a contract, it's going to be public, that this is something he needs to work on, but you know, they felt like when you look at the pool of available quarterbacks, he sort of gave them the best chance, you know, for the foreseeable future.
All right, so now what's the ripple effect from the Murray deal throughout the National Football League? Because, again, all eyes are going to turn to Lamar Jackson entering year five of his five-year rookie deal. No deal in sight, apparently, with the Baltimore Ravens on an extension. He's won an MVP award. He's won in the playoffs. Do you think this greases the wheels, or are they further away than ever?
No, this should be much more closer to Deshaun Watson and his fully guaranteed contract. I would think the structure of what's holding up that deal. If I'm Lamar Jackson, I want more than Kyler Murray. I want a fully guaranteed deal. I've outplayed him, and I've been impeccable not only on the field but off the field.
See, for me, I believe, like, I don't think Baltimore give anybody a guaranteed deal. It's going to really set a precedent because the next quarterback up is going to have to get it if they deem or Joe Burrow and Herbert. And it's going to you know, create quarterbacks being guaranteed deals, and then what position player is going to fight for that next, saying, okay, I'm Aaron Donald, I want guaranteed deals and things like that sort. But when you look at it, would this get it done 25% more than Kyler Murray? So Kyler Murray gets 160, and then now Lamar Jackson gets 185, where, you know, he gets, you know, maybe that in guarantees, and maybe he is somewhere in between Kyler Murray and Aaron Rodgers, so somewhere like $48.5 million. Is that like fair compensation? I mean, you used to control the salary cap, you know, there in one of your previous jobs. Is that something, a structure that sounds about right?
You know, Bart, I think the average per year is about right. But, again, I don't want a structure, if I'm Lamar Jackson, that looks anywhere close to Kyler Murray. I want a fully guaranteed deal like Deshaun Watson, and I'm hard-pressed to step on the field until I get that. You know, I'm a league MVP, and Cleveland wanted Deshaun Watson. They stepped up, and you need to do the same if you're Baltimore.
But isn't it some organizations have to negotiate a little differently because they have to overpay? I mean, the chaos that we have now is because Christian Kirk got paid all that money for the damn Jacksonville Jaguars. That's why these receivers are going crazy. But I digress. I really want to ask you this. That was just me venting. But I really want to ask you this. When you think about the quarterback position, did the Arizona Cardinals fumble the contract because they gave Kyler Murray what he wanted? But shouldn't they have tried to buy up his prime like Patrick Mahomes? Because now Patrick Mahomes, yeah, 2 years later, deal looks great. So, like, more like a baseball deal where you give him a 10-year contract and now he can't come back to the table 4 years from now saying, hey, now the going rate for a great quarterback is $60 million a year after Burrow and Herbert.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. They could have gone longer. That makes a ton of sense. There's give and take in every deal. Maybe the guaranteed money was, like, prohibitive. But we'll see what happens with Burrow or Herbert next. But that's a very fair point, Bart, and going longer would have been totally reasonable for Arizona.
NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on Bart and Han on ESPN Radio. Cincinnati's made it pretty clear that they're going to want to get something done with Joe Burrow when the opportunity presents itself. I'm curious as to what you think will happen with the Chargers and Justin Herbert. This is an organization that notoriously, in some of these situations, they've had some hang-ups where other teams might not. Most recently, the Joey Bosa rookie contract comes to mind, where they didn't want to do something that other teams in that same slot had done in previous years. Do you think that'll be a smooth process, or do you think there could be some hang-ups between Herbert and the Chargers down the road?
Yeah, that could be challenging as well. Like, Justin Herbert at that point will either be the highest paid player or it'll be Joe Burrow. It's a great problem for the Chargers to have, and I expect that deal to get done. But those two guys will certainly be up to bat come next March, and they'll set the bar. And as Bart mentioned, you know, Patrick Mahomes, you know, looks that much further back in the background in terms of, you know, his long-term deal will start going down the slotting system in terms of he may wind up being the sixth or seventh highest paid quarterback, you know, in the next year or so.
Hey, what's the expectations for Arizona? Because now, you know, you have two, a coach and a quarterback that share agent. They both got paid long-term deals. At some point, it has to be a mandate for meaningful games being played and meaningful winning. You know, what type of pressure is on Kyler and Cliff to perform and live up to this window that they have open?
Yeah, this is a huge year for them. And, you know, looking at that division, it's going to be hard with the Rams and the 49ers. But, look, they're loaded up. And when DeAndre Hopkins comes back, he's maybe the second-best receiver behind Devontae Adams. And they certainly, defensively, they've made some changes over the last couple of years. But I think they're in the sort of conversation for the wild card position if J.J. Watt could stay healthy. I think Isaiah Simmons continues to come along, but the key will be surviving the loss of DeAndre Hopkins, and I think that's one of the reasons they traded for Hollywood Brown.
Mike Tannenbaum, NFL front office insider, joining us here on Bart and Hot on ESPN Radio. Mike, thank you for the time and the insights. We always appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bart, how do you stack the NFC West going into the season? I would imagine Seattle's probably last, yep, considering all the talent they've lost and the fact that it does look like a rebuild. But between the defending champion Rams, the Niners, who are turning the keys to the car over to second-year quarterback Trey Lance, and the Arizona Cardinals led by Kyler Murray in that incredible extension, how would you stack the division?
It's just tough, right, because I think the unknown is Trey Lance and what he's going to be able to do. and if he's going to make this 49ers team, who was a legitimate threat to go to the Super Bowl last year, take a step back. So I got him like 2A or 2B or 3 something, you know what I mean? It's somewhere in there. It's a really sticky thing because of the unknown. But then also the unknown is how many games is Arizona going to win without DeAndre Hopkins and Ken Hollywood Brown. And, you know, I love Rondale Moore. He's one of my favorite guys. Reminds me of a young Percy Harvin. If they can figure out ways to be successful. But one thing we know, that Arizona has not had an issue with getting off the fast starts, is being able to close the show. So will this be like some Chip Kelly stuff where players play well early on, but then they fatigue and burn out because of the pace and all the plays and all the mileage on the body? Or will Cliff learn how to have a little bit more balance in the run game, and so that it's a little bit harder to defend them from a defense perspective?
You know, that's one of the top talking points when you're analyzing the Cardinals. Will Kyler Murray take another step forward? The DeAndre Hopkins suspension. Two players that departed that are never mentioned. Chandler Jones is gone. He's with the Raiders now. Jones racked up double-digit sacks in 6 of the last 7 seasons. In the season he didn't, he was injured. I think he only played one game, which is why he didn't get the double-digit sacks. And then Robert Alford, one of their top cornerbacks, is gone as well. So defensively, do you figure they're heading for a regression this season? Because they were able to lean on that defense quite a bit last year.
Well, really what it's about is can Isaiah Simmons graduate? Remember, he was supposed to be Michael Parsons.
Big time.
Right? He was supposed to be the Swiss Army knife. Is he a safety? Is he a corner? Is he a pass rusher? He's been a little bit disappointing. Xavier Collins last year, I thought, was one of the best guys coming out. He reminded me of like a young Urlacher because he's like 6'5". But when you look at his stats, he's able to get, you know, to the zones. He can play man. He can play zone. He's got interceptions. He's got sacks as a blitzer. Meh. We didn't even see him last year. So let's see if they can get guys to graduate, then they can fill up some of those holes that's been voided by some key departures.
Adam Schefter of ESPN tweeted this out about 5 minutes ago. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan met this morning with Jimmy Garoppolo. The three men talked, and after, Shanahan told reporters, quote, "We have moved on to Trey," end quote, meaning that the relationship with Garoppolo is over. We're not sure how they're going to handle it, whether they release him or finally find a trade partner. But any discussion regarding Garoppolo and his return to the Niners, barring some sort of crazy instance, looks to be done. It looks like it is the Trey Lance show moving forward.
Yeah, but the issue is what compensation they're going to get from him. You're going to sit back and eat $26 million and get no return on it, or are you going to be able to try and get like at least a fifth-round draft pick and maybe a player from somebody, right? That's why it was ironic and interesting to me that the Panthers didn't go that route. I think the Panthers are saying if these two guys, retreads, can't get it done, then we'll just stink and be able to be in the sweepstakes. But the problem is, it's a lot of other teams in the sweepstakes that already currently has 2 first-round draft picks. The Lions have 2 first-round draft picks next year. Their quarterback job is up for debate. You look at the 2 that the Philadelphia Eagles have. Why did they make a deal when they had tremendous value in this draft to improve your football team? It's because they want to make sure that if Jalen Hurts can't get her done in perfect situation with arguably one of the most talented rosters, best offensive line, great running game, now 2 great first-round – well, 2 great receivers. One's a former first-round draft pick, Heisman winner, and the other one's has been the beast, like DK Metcalf. When you think about A.J. Brown, tremendous, you know, tight end. You'll never be able to have that much talent when you unless your quarterback is cheap. So if he can't get it done, then you start over again and you say, all right, I got 2 first-round draft picks. Let me move up to get C.J. Stroud. Let me go out and get Bryce Young. And that's what Seattle was doing too. They're trying to tank for him. Like, but other teams already have the draft equity to be able to pay for them.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. And now, a no-frills ad brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Here it is. You could save big when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive. That's it. See? Just a good old-fashioned, straightforward ad. See if you could save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or progressive.com. Coming up, New York City up for grabs as the Subway Series kicks off tonight between the Mets and the Yankees. Who's under more pressure to win, especially with the news that just broke about one of the most important players in this series being unavailable for tonight and tomorrow night's game? This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Dress and David Robinson to the Mets, the mighty Mets, for some prospects.
The road to the rematch is on as bantamweight champ Juliana Pena and former champ Amanda Nunes go head-to-head as coaches on the historic 30th season of The Ultimate Fighter. Stream the series now exclusively on ESPN+. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. He's Bart Scott.
Damn.
I'm Joe Fortenbaugh filling in for Alan Hahn here on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Subway Series gets started tonight. Big news out of New York. The Yankees have announced that they have placed outfielder-designated hitter Giancarlo Stanton on the 10-day injured list, retroactive to July 24th, with left Achilles tendonitis. Yeah. So the Pinstripes will be without 24 home runs and 61 RBIs
All-star.
In their lineup tonight against Taijuan Walker, who has been fantastic for the Mets this season, Bart.
Yeah, man, and listen, that train's never late. You know, I mean, the train has been late is Hicks and his obliques. So, you know, it's always something going on with the Yankees, man. You know, this year is about the Mets. You know, I know Renee's feeling, you know, his panties is all up in a bunch going on right now. But listen.
I'm going to need you to settle down,
all right? I'm just saying, like, y'all be coming with all the smoke, want to talk stuff about Dom Smith. Dom Smith going to be all right.
Dom Smith can't hold his own against Giancarlo Stanton. So, I mean, there's nothing to argue there about.
Well, if DeGrom was healthy, then Stanton would get struck out anyway. Well, DeGrom's not there. Listen, did you also hear that if possible reinforcements coming as Wilson Contreras and David Robinson could be on their way?
All right, but you're talking about future things.
Could be on their way. Yeah, I'm projecting because the Subway Series, who cares? We'll see you in the playoffs if you get there, punks.
You guys have a better shot of not getting in there than the Yankees do. The Yankees have a double-digit lead in their division. The Mets are up by what?
What happened? Yeah.
Hold on. What's more impressive? Joe Weezy, because this is like two family members arguing. We need somebody to kind of, you know, referee this stuff. What's more impressive, the Yankees' record and how gaudy they are? And listen, the Mets, the Yankees still are within striking distance of the Astros, are they not? Are the Astros still – can they see them now? Are they closer? Because every time they play them, they kick their ass. Or what's more impressive, being, you know, having a half a game lead in a division with the reigning champs, with you when you went six or seven weeks without Scherzer and a whole season without Jacob DeGrom? You tell me.
That question feels a bit loaded based on the way it was presented to me. I would say that the Yankees, I mean, it's the best record in the division. It's the best record in the league. It's the best record in all of baseball. They have been fantastic this season. But again, it comes down to expectations versus production. The Yanks are putting up big numbers. They're expected to put up big numbers. I don't think anyone cares about the big numbers in the regular season. It's about whether or not they'll take the next step in the playoffs. The Mets have been wildly impressive because, like you said, the Phillies have spent a ton of money. The Braves are the defending champs. And they're out there 59-37. They haven't had DeGrom for a while. They didn't have Max Scherzer for a while. They've dealt with a lot. And this is a team that last season spent a ton of money and completely flamed out. So the expectation this year was that they would be better, but would they be able to go out and prove it? So right now it's the Mets above expectation versus the Yanks, even though that sounds insane with the record. But it comes down to who's going to prove it in the postseason. I mean, the Mets have to find their way through the Dodgers. I don't know if there's anyone else that's all that daunting in the National League. You probably have to consider the Braves, of course, but that's it. With the Yanks, is there anyone they fear outside of Houston? Because make no mistake about it, whatever the record is, Houston has got to be a team they fear given
history. That's a big if. That is a big if. But the thing is, right, they won't even pay their own stars. They argue with Aaron Judge over $2 million.
I know, after they already saw
what he was doing. Like, I know this is supposed to be about last year, but are we supposed to pretend like we don't see that this man is an MVP candidate and you want to hold him and be cheap? Hell, you could have sold some extra foam gavels for Judge Chambers and made that $2 million back, but now you want to make him upset. You heard him during the All-Star game. I think I'm out. I hope that little fan is a fan of Aaron Judge, not me as a Yankee, because I'm saying peace out to the West Coast.
If the Yanks are anticipating that, do you think they get aggressive for Soto? Do you think they get aggressive to try to get the deal done? Because you know the Mets want him, but
they're
not going to trade him in division.
How are you going to explain?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
To the fan base, that you couldn't give Aaron Judge $40 million a year, but you're going to give a guy that's, yes, he is younger, but he had Aaron Judge has already carried this team for less than, you know, he went 4 years, 4 years of his career where he made underneath $1 million. So you've had a discount and you are that cheap as the New York Yankees, the most valuable organization in North American sports. And you mean to tell me that you can't pay Aaron Judge $35 to $40 million homegrown, but you gave A-Rod all that cheese on his taco and this guy's doing it for you in his prime? He's only 30 years old. You telling me that's what we're talking about? Then you're going to go give a guy like Soto $20 million? You're going to give him a 20 or 15-year deal?
You're going to give Soto like $500 million. That deal's going to be $500
million. That's my point. So how can you even look Aaron Judge and the fans in the face? They will
He's
have a revolt.
He's 7 years younger. 23 years old for Juan Soto, $500 million, or you break the bank for Aaron Judge at 30 years old.
But you like, don't have
Judge
to.
What's Judge going
to
look like at the tail end of that deal?
But you don't have to pay Aaron Judge that money. Who's
how
to
much
say you, that
how
Ron,
much realistic
who's to say that Soto
to
isn't going to tear his knee up like Acuna?
That's, yeah, I mean, yeah, you got to worry about that, of course. You worry about that with everyone. What's the amount that gets the deal done with Judge, though? How much are you giving him for how many years?
I'm giving him 8 years.
8 years. So that takes him to age 38. Okay.
8 years, 320.
8 years, 320. And is he saying yes to that deal?
Hell yeah.
$40 million a year?
8 years, 320. Get her done.
Would New York rather have
that?
Yeah,
you're
going to
have him for five. You're going to have him for 6 great years.
Would you rather do that or 10 years for $50 million a year for Soto? And that takes it to age 33.
Well, when Soto gets there, what's going to be your window? Because you've been in a window to win a championship for the last 3 years.
That's true. All right. Calls on this. If you got something you want to weigh in, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Why did Renee go dark?
I'm right here.
This is a group activity.
Where are you at? Yeah, where are you at?
Yeah, we can't even see your face. Let us see your face.
Listen.
The studio hiding, son.
Yeah, I'm hiding in the studio since you guys aren't here. Might as well just chill in here, you know?
Crying in a car.
All right, Renee's going to weigh in as well. Your calls on the Subway series, that's all coming up next. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bart Scott, I'm Joe Fortenbaugh, filling in for Alan Hahn here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. We are brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Subway Series starts tonight. Big time showdown. Taiwan Walker, who in his last seven starts, 4-0 record with a 1.80 ERA on the season at Citi Field, a 1.5 ERA. He's going to face Jordan Montgomery. No Giancarlo Stanton. He has been placed on the 10-day injured list, retroactive to July 24th with left Achilles tendonitis. More on that in a bit, but we're taking some calls. Naturally, the Subway Series turned into a conversation about the trade deadline and the postseason. And, of course, Juan Soto's name was mentioned. So let's go to the phones. Keith in Hoboken. Keith, we appreciate the call. Lay it on us.
Hey, what's going on, Bart? And I know Han's out today, but I love the show.
Joe, we got Joe Weezy with us, baby.
Joe, sorry about that.
All good.
And love Judge, and I agree with you, Bart. You got to pay the man. The one thing about Juan Soto, and we're starting to see this with Francisco Lindor, is that we paid Francisco Lindor, the Mets did, but he hasn't performed or lived up to, lived up to the money he's making. Do you see that also affecting Juan Soto? Obviously, the New York lights a little bit brighter here, and some guys just choke up and they aren't able to perform at the same level. With that, Judge has done it time and time again, and he's proved that he can perform in the big lights. So why don't you pay him versus giving Juan Soto, who hasn't proved he can perform in New York City, that big contract?
That's a great point. We appreciate the phone call, Keith. Bart, your thoughts on that? Because when you're handing out 10-year deals, when you're handing out nine figures, one of the biggest concerns is going to be what's the guy's motivation and mindset in year one, year five, year nine? Are you going to show up day in, day out, or are you going to pack it in because you just got paid?
I mean, we saw Randy Jackson. He couldn't handle the big stage. Johnson, I'm sorry. He couldn't handle the big stage. We saw Jason Giambi come here, couldn't handle the big stage. The lights are a little bit brighter in New York, and I know he's been on the East Coast, but the National are nothing like playing for the pinstripes. So when you have someone, you know, we saw Staten get booed. Right, so when you have someone like Judge that proves that the lights aren't too bright for him, and not only that, he can be the leader in the face of your franchise, you don't just let that walk out the door at age 30. What are you? You're killing me, Petey. So absolutely they should pay him, and that's for all the right reasons of why he said that you have to pay Judge, because we know that he's a big-time showtime showstopper. He is the biggest show, one of the greatest shows in New York of all the athletes.
Talking about shows, there's talk about a potential rematch from a very famous fight. We'll get to that. More of your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. This is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. He's Bart Scott. I'm Joe Fortenball in for Alan Hahn. This is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Subway Series starts tonight. Bart, it's the most perfect betting line imaginable. Yankees -110. Versus the Mets -110, meaning you're risking $110 to win $100. Dead even right there. No favorite, no underdog, dead even, over under of 8. Taijuan Walker versus Jordan Montgomery. How would you bet it?
What you mean? I'm betting with my Mets.
Betting with the Mets tonight?
Absolutely. Always.
Walker's been unstoppable as of late.
Exactly. That's where we're going. We're going right with the Mets. We don't waver. Even if we take a couple L's, we still 10 toes down for my squad. You know what I'm saying?
What do you make of these matchups? Because obviously sports talk radio is going to be big on stuff like this. It's a 162 game season. Obviously the players are going to get up for this, but we're probably going to make a lot more of this than there is to make of it. I think people make a much bigger deal of what Houston does to the Yankees than what really matters, right? From that series last week, everyone blows it up because it's the two best teams in the AL. But ultimately, what do you make of this? Whether the Mets win both, whether the Yankees win both, whether they split, do you come away from it knowing anything more about either team?
No, especially when we're not going to see the aces. I mean, we'll see Scherzer, but you won't see DeGrom. You won't see Gerrit Cole. So, I mean, we want to see it. We want to project. But, you know, we're a long way from even dreaming of a Subway Series and a World Series. You know, we just hope that somebody from New York gets there, because we, as a city – and I know that Jet fans and Giant fans and, you know, vice versa, you're supposed to pick your sides. But I need New York to get a win. It's been far too long since it's been a parade, you know, in New York. And it's time for somebody to carry the torch and bring us back to prominence. Because everything is a little bit happier when New York is relevant. It helps all of the sports landscape.
What about the Knicks?
The who? Who, the Nets?
Why'd you do that?
It's always easy to slide them in there. All right, well, if it's going to be one of the two this year, who's got the better chance to do it? If you're the Mets, as fantastic as that rotation looks, you got to find your way past the Dodgers. You got to find your way past the Braves. Doable. If you're the Yanks, you're the best team in the AL, but you're going to have to find your way past the team you can't get past, and that's the Houston Astros. Who'd be more likely to get it done?
Yeah, no guts, no glory. To me, I think it has to be the Mets, and I say just simply because they have two aces, and we know that if you can get both of these guys to pitch twice in any series, it's going to be a hard out, especially now that they're starting to get some type of run support and they're solidifying and really improving their bullpen, which is what's going to happen. Right? If you can get six or seven from Scherzer or DeGrom, you need somebody to help get you to the finish line. And we love what Edwin Diaz has been balling.
Yeah, Yanks lineup tonight, best in baseball against Taijuan Walker. Last seven starts, 4-0, a 1.80 ERA, and he's been virtually unhittable at Citi Field this season, 1.50 home ERA. I've seen a report come out here in Las Vegas that perhaps Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor might run it back.
Man, come on.
There might be a rematch.
This, boo. Man, come on. Hell no. Hell
do you have any interest in that?
Zero.
Whatsoever?
Zero. Listen,
come
I love
zero,
Floyd.
Not even 1%?
Zero. I'd much rather see Logan Paul fight Conor McGregor. Why I want to watch a boxer fight a non-boxer and say, so what, McGregor needs another Ferrari yacht? Because nobody wants to see these dudes fight again and get $100 million for doing absolutely nothing. It's a glorified sparring partner or sparring session for Floyd, because he's not going to put himself in danger. Conor's not going to be able to hurt him. Man, come on, man. Nah, stop that. I'm not running. So, I'd rather, let me see Manny Pacquiao fight. I'd rather see two old-ass boxers fight than see some dude that keep getting his ass knocked out in UFC to see if he can go fight standing up on 2 feet.
So
tell him go beat somebody,
people.
Nate Diaz. Go beat Nate Diaz before we watch that.
So many people, when that fight was first announced, you look back on exactly what you're saying, everything about it, just completely fraudulent. I mean, Floyd came out wearing a mask, a robber's mask for a reason. Yeah. He was trying to send the message. He was robbing everyone financially on this fight. And bookmakers, I know here in Las Vegas, were taking so many bets on Conor McGregor. So many people wanted to believe because they hate Floyd Mayweather so much.
So disrespectful. So disrespectful.
Is the easiest money to make in the history of gambling was betting on Floyd Mayweather, because Floyd Mayweather for years was minus 800, minus 1,000 against everybody, right? Minus 1,000 means you're risking $1,000 to win 100. But for some reason, people believed Conor beat him, so that price dropped.
You know why. Like, this reminds me of the Great White Hype. He's like,
that's one of the best movies out there.
I'll put
Jamie Foxx is so good in that movie. Yeah.
Will you?
Sultan does not give us a title shot. We will sue him.
Yeah. I like to put $200 on a clean cut white boy. That's how people are going to the damn thing. Yeah, I like to put $20 on a tough white boy with the tattoo on his chest. Like, stop it, man. That was leaning to everything. Like, I don't know what was the bigger hustle, Floyd Mayweather or Trump raising $200 million for nothing.
Is it like Peter McNeely versus Mike Tyson in that comeback fight?
Yeah.
Big white Irish guy.
Yeah, exactly. You know the Great White Hype was off of a
Jerry Cooney.
And Holmes and Larry Holmes. He was like, he the Great White Hope. Y'all better hope I don't kill his ass. I love me some Larry Holmes. He has some of the greatest like one liners ever, man. Did you see the clip?
Assassin.
Have you ever listen? Anybody out there? What I want you guys to Google. Google Larry Holmes jumping off the hood of a car. He was getting in an argument with a fight. I don't know if it was Mitch Green or who it was. He ran off the front of the hood, and you hear him climbing from the back, boom, 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 boom. And you hear he got a Fila tracksuit, and it's going, shoo, 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 shoo. And it's almost like a Michael Myers movie. He jumped off the hood of the car, and he Bruce Lee kicks this other fighter right in the chest. And the only way you can find it is just Google Larry Holmes jumps off the hood of a car.
What was this for? Why did this happen?
It was a pre-fight. They was beefing before. You know how Mike Tyson beat up Mitch Green, like, in a barber shop or something, right? Or, at Dapper Dance. He beat him up at Dapper Dance, right? And he said he was so high on coke, every time he hit him, he thought he was knocked out. He kept getting up like Michael Myers. Like, man, I got to kill this dude. But Larry Holmes ran up the back of the hood, and you hear, boo, 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 and you see him with the Bruce Lee kick. Man, I thought he's Con Lee, or was it Liu Kang from Mortal Kombat that kicked that form? Google it, guys. You guys have yourself a good laugh and have a great day. It's been a great show. Joe Weezy. I appreciate it.
It's been great working with you. So you're telling me, even if it's free and it's put on right in front of you on a Saturday night, watching Floyd versus Conor McGregor 2?
Hell no. I'd rather go to the Bronx or go to the Rutgers and watch somebody get smacked on a basketball court.
All right. He's Bart Scott. I'm Joe Fortenball filling in for Alan Hahn. Canny and Carlin are up next. This is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have yourself a great Tuesday.